Welcome to As for Football's Army Football Show with your host and As for Football First Captain Rob Wright, an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army football team throughout their season as they seek to claim the Commander-in-Chief Trophy.
And welcome back, Army fans. It is your guest host this week, Jordan out of Atlantic, Georgia, and I am joined by Dan in Coastal Connecticut. Right on the heels of the heart-throbbing, blood-pressure-surging victory against Georgia Southern at Mikey. Dan, how you doing? How's the blood pressure? Did you lose any more hair?
Oh, my God. Well, I don't have a lot of hair. And in fact, my kids recently told me that I look like Santa Claus. So I got that going for me, which is nice. But, I put in 3,600 today, just over 2 miles in the pool, and I feel better. But until then, I was a nervous wreck.
Yeah, I got to say, it really reminded me of the Miami-Ohio game from 2018.
Yeah, it did. Exactly.
I remember I was watching that game with my parents. And I couldn't do it. I had to go up and watch the game by myself. And I was, bent over the ottoman, just cringing. And, this week felt pretty similar to that, unfortunately.
It was almost reminiscent of the Temple game a couple years ago, the Kelvin Hopkins coming out game, yeah. When they went to overtime, just because they looked dead in the water and then came back and it was a miracle. So yeah, in the end result, it was good, but man, what a wild game.
Oh, I thought it was over in the first quarter, but obviously we've learned to never count the Army team out. Or give them a victory too soon, because anything can happen in a game of football.
That's why we're here, right?
Exactly. So, Dan, why don't you give us a recap of the game for those people who missed it or haven't read your article?
I certainly will. Well, as we were saying, the Black Knights won a wild game, 28-27, over Georgia Southern at Mikey Stadium. Quarterback Tyer Tyler got the start. He racked up 3 fumbles in the first half, putting Army down 21-7 at the break. However, the coaching staff stuck with him and with the game plan, and the team got it together at halftime. Black Knights finished with 73 carries for 243 yards and 4 touchdowns. That is a mathematically precise 3.3 yards per carry, exactly what you need in the triple option. Tyler also went 1 of 1 passing for 25 yards to tight end Chris Cameron. Fullback Santa McCoy had 5 carries for 17 yards and 2 touchdowns. Notably, it was McCoy that they put in there to settle the offense down after the back-to-back fumbles right at the start. And finally, slot back, I hope I say this right, Breham Murphy had 2 carries for 17 yards and his first touchdown as a Black Knight. All in, after the break, they looked pretty good. On defense, I wasn't overwhelmed on defense, but after reviewing the game notes, I got to say, defense and special teams, both played much better than I remembered. They had 2 sacks, 6 tackles for loss, 2 three and outs, 1 interception. They forced a missed field goal. They blocked a punt. They forced a turnover on downs, and they made the final tackle behind the first down line to seal the game right there on that crazy finish. Southern finished with just 311 yards of total offense, which isn't terrible, 136 yards passing, 175 yards rushing. But if you take away all the turnovers, their offense was effectively just a handful of big chunk plays, which is not what you're looking for with the triple option. Linebacker Eric Smith played a great game, but really Army safeties led all tacklers. Smith had a half sack and 2.5 tackles for loss. Cedric Cunningham and Markel Broughton combined for 24 total tackles, 10 solo and 2 tackles for loss. Finally, on special teams, we mentioned the block punt. They blocked an extra point. That was actually the difference in the game. They forced a missed 28-yard chip shot field goal, which is a miracle. We saw Army put up 4 punts for 145 yards, allowing exactly 1 return for all of 6 yards, which is excellent. Meanwhile, returner Tyrell Robinson had 3 kickoff returns for 84 yards. Some of those looked real good. And finally, plebe kicker Quinn Moretzky made all 4 of his extra points, giving Army the 1-point victory.
And awesome.
That's what I got. Yep.
Good for Quinn making all 4.
If
you've listened to the show enough, I've been nervous all season about our kickers, just because it seems like every other game, we miss an extra point or bouncing off an upright. So it's good to see that he was able to come through in the clutch. One statistic you left out, Dan, was time of possession. And Army had the ball for 38 minutes and 24 seconds. And that's insane. We only had 268 yards of total offense. Looking at this stat sheet, it doesn't make sense that we have the ball for almost 40 minutes and we won by 1 point. But I guess if you consider that, you know, one of the fumbles was immediately scooped up and taken back for a touchdown. The other fumble was taken down to the, 3 yard line, and then they touched it on the next play.
Yep.
You know, take those 14 points off, maybe give us 7 just to say we would have scored on one of those two drives.
Well, that was the one going in there at the end of the first half. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, I honestly, this game should not have been close, minus those turnovers. I mean, Army should have been down 7 points heading into halftime. That's like a very minor difference. It's frustrating. It was a rough first half. You know, I don't know. Listen, they pulled it out. I thought the better team deserved to win, but man, wow. They almost shot themselves in the foot again.
Yeah, they really did. You know, we had 5 penalties for 54 yards. One of those was that personal foul on Robinson, which we're going to talk about a little bit later. But we did go 4 for 4 on fourth down. I don't know, you know, compared to the other games, how we've done. But I think this is the first time we've gone 4 for 4 when we've gone for it 4 times. So when we needed it, we definitely were able to, you know, get the line together, get a play together, and then push through and get the yardage that we needed.
Well, yeah, they were 9 of 18 on third down plus 4 of 4 on fourth down. So that means that they were obviously getting conversions. I think they had 2 punts, or 3 punts. So, yeah, I mean, what else can you ask for?
Yeah. So overall, at a very weird game, but like you said, it really should have been 35-14, but here we are. Win's a win. Next, we're going to go into takes on the game. I'll lead us off. First half was rough. You know, if you follow us on Twitter, you know, I tweeted a couple images of a dumpster on fire, and that's what it felt like. If it could go wrong, it did. The handoff that became a fumble, I don't know who TT was trying to hand it off to, but he missed it, and it somehow ended up behind his back. And if you watch the replay, he like reaches around behind him to like grab it, and he ends up flipping it in the air, and then it's caught by a Georgia State defender and then ran in for the touchdown. So if he hadn't tried to catch it, it would have fallen on the ground, and TT would have just, you know, jumped right on top of it. So
it looked that one was supposed to go to Buchanan, and it looked like Buchanan had no idea the ball was coming to him. It was a little reminiscent of the 2011 play with Trent Steelman trying to hand off there at Navy.
Yeah, to Larry Dixon. It was 2012. Yeah.
2012
season. That was rough. All in though, you know, Rob's not on the show right now. I know he wanted Ballard to start. I wanted Ballard to start. And really kind of wanted a quarterback change after that second fumble. They chose to leave TT in. He got that third fumble. I was really, really hoping that someone would make a decision and you know, make that personnel change, and they didn't. And I'm kind of glad they didn't, because TT looked pissed going into the locker room at halftime. They just showed his face, and he was so mad and frustrated at himself, but he wasn't dejected. You know, he didn't have this look of, oh, I stink, I suck, I'm not ready for this, you know, put me on the bench, coach. He was pissed off and wanted another shot, and he came out in the second half and really kind of put the team on his shoulders, making plays. You know, we don't have an Army quarterback that slides, but, you know, he was taking hits to try to move the ball and move the chains. So that was good to see. Additionally, Munkin made a comment, I think it was at the end of the game, that Anderson was not ready to be back. And that's something that we had kind of discussed last week on the podcast of, you know, just coming back from this injury. Anderson just did not look comfortable under center, did not look, you know, comfortable with the offense. So it'll be very interesting to see who will start at quarterback for Army Navy, because this is our, fourth or fifth quarterback that we've started this season. So I have to believe that, you know, you're playing him the game before Army Navy, you know, TT is going to get the start, but I don't know. We'll see what happens.
They obviously, you know, my read on it was that they've decided that Tyler is the quarterback they want to have at Army Navy. And if you've made that decision, then you got to ride with the guy and give him experience. Certainly he's looked good every time they brought him in. You know, he comes in his first start and has disaster after disaster. Then he marches the team all the way down the field to get us within 7 points. and that last fumble was not his fault. You know, the defender shoots the gap and just puts a paw in the ball. What are you going to do? I mean, you'd like for him to not have the ball held out in front of him, but that was a split second thing. You know, they also pointed out on commentary that the splits that the offensive line had early that just weren't working. The best thing about this game, I think, is that they actually made the adjustment and fixed that. And after they made the adjustment, like, the offense was humming. So that's awesome.
Yeah. And I don't know who caught that on the coaching staff, or if, you know, someone texted it in after, you know, Ross Tucker picked up on it.
Oh, I'm sure that wasn't happening.
No, I know. But, you know, it was good that somebody made that adjustment. But speaking of coaches, Monken really loves this football team. If you watch the reaction in the locker room after the game, you can tell that. If you watch his post-game interview, you can tell that. If you watched at halftime when he ran out to chew out the core who were cheering for Georgia Southern, you can tell that. God. And then my final point, cadets suck. You know, Dan, I know you have a little monologue in a little bit, and I'm the tag on. But I still remember the core booed our team at the Duke game because it was on a Saturday of a 3-day weekend. And it was third or fourth quarter. We were trying to call a time. We were calling timeouts to try to, you know, stop the clock so we can get the ball back and try to win the game. And the core just outright booed the team. And from what we've heard, there was a little bit of that going on this week. So we'll use that as our segue. And Dan, what are some of your takes on the game?
Yeah. So the biggest take I had is just how hard it is to come back from a disastrous first half like that. You know, you make a mistake in an athletic contest, and it's really, really hard to come back. You know, I don't know if this is the world's greatest analogy, but you're just going to have to live with hearing it. So my as a swimmer in the 200 butterfly was I always put the hammer down right at the halfway mark because the 200 butterfly is a gut check. And for me, you know, I'm 5'10", you know, most guys who swim are like 6'8". And so I really needed that psychological edge. And so, you know, if you hit somebody as hard as you can, right when they're starting to feel tired, like that will usually break almost everybody. Right. Yeah. So here's Tyre Tyler. He gets hit about as hard as a guy can get hit right as the game is like really sinking in on him. And he pops right back up and runs the offense like a hero. And that is not easy to do. And if you think it's easy, go out and try it, because I guarantee that is the hardest thing you will ever do in your life, is to just lay it on the turf like that and then get back up and perform as though nothing happened, because that is hard. You know, and then the other thing was, I said this on Twitter, this game was a gut check for the fandom, right? It's we're all West Pointers, and this is one of those games that it's here to remind you that, yo, nothing about West Point is easy. Like, even being a fan of the football team sometimes is hard. They're going to make you work for it. And today, you know, this time it was worth it. Like, we can celebrate this because it was amazing and it was awesome. Sometimes they just want to see you. Are you man enough? Are you woman enough to cheer for this team when it gets hard? Like, serious question. And I think we know the answer in some cases, but whew, yeah, that was a tough one.
Yeah. And, you know, take a shot every time Dano says gut check on this podcast. That has been your buzzword. Tweeted it out. So.
Oh, man. Thanks for that.
Hey, anytime. That's funny. So with that, we're going to head right into the good, the bad, and the ugly. I'll do the good. Dan will do the bad, and then we'll split the ugly. So
That'll work. Let's do it.
The good, it took a lot of good things to win this game, you know, being down 21-7 at half. Short yardage running, 9 for 18 on third down, 4 for 4 on fourth down. That's fantastic. Slot backs on toss plays averaged 8 yards a carry. So
that's amazing.
It really is. And it's good to see that throughout the season, we're continuing to string it out to the sidelines. And also that, you know, TT in his first start could come in and execute those toss plays that well. So that's really good to see and reassuring. Short yardage defense, especially 175-pound cornerback Javari Berdoux, who missed most of this season, came in and took on a 225-pound fullback at the marker, and he won. He stood him up. It was just an incredible show of force.
That was amazing. When I saw, I mean, the guy's giving up 50 pounds and he just hits a guy and knocks him backwards. That was one of the most amazing things I've seen this season.
Just physical football. And you'll love to see it, obviously. We blocked the punt. We blocked the extra point. We were perfect on extra points, special teams, and Sean Saturno. I don't know. I don't know his name. He's a little man, but big personality, big energy.
From Hawaii.
Yeah, he's awesome. A great special teams coach. Special teams have come leaps and bounds in the last, you know, 2 or 3 years. So, and then finally that fourth quarter interception, what was his name? Was it Carter? Start comes in and gets that interception. And then
the blocked extra point too. Yeah.
The blocked extra point. Yeah. So, you know, this defense has been very dominant throughout the year, but we've also seen guys who have not had opportunities to play, come out and execute, you know, Carter. And then also, you know, John Rattigan, who senior year hasn't played and then comes out now, leads the team in tackles, is on multiple national award watch lists. So that's been really good to see. And then also we tackled Southern's quarterback short, forced the game ending. And then, you know, we had some guys lay on the ground a little bit.
They weren't blatant about it.
They weren't, but it was good.
They have no obligation to hurry and get up. They can get up at their normal speed.
I'm not accusing anyone of anything. I'm just saying, you know, after this long, hard fought game, I think they deserve to take an extra 3 or 4 seconds to get up and get.
Yeah, they're tired.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm not. We're on the same team here.
All right.
So, all right, Dan, what's the bad?
Yeah. So, we waved off a penalty that cost us 15 seconds on the clock. That was the ref. The whole ending of the game was just crazy. Army should have been able to run off the clock, and then they get the holding call, and then they get the phantom holding call. And then that resets the play clock from 40 seconds to 25 seconds, costing us 15 seconds, recalling that Southern only had 17 seconds at the end. I was just crazy. And then we get the explanation at the end of the game that makes no sense. And everybody in the whole country is scratching their head. And then finally, you've got all the sports writers like, oh my God, this is unfair. This is a travesty of justice. So here's the deal. There is apparently, I put this in the recap, an obscure rule that has apparently been on the books since 2013. With less than 3 seconds left, the offense has time for exactly one play. Period. The end. So when Georgia Southern's quarterback spiked it with less than 3 seconds left, he spiked it to end the game. That's the rule. It's nobody's fault but his that he didn't know. Nevertheless, here we are. In the pros, this is not the rule. This is the rule in college. This is why the game ended. It was called correctly on the field. And, you know, regardless of how you feel about it, the final play was reviewed by the officials. It was upheld. That's what due process looks like in this scenario. That's the end of it. Like, stop. There's no more. There's no injustice.
Yeah, go complain about Florida State and Clemson and that whole, you know, drama-rama down there. But, yeah, I agree with you. I didn't know that, you know, this was a rule and you had to have 3 seconds.
Either. Yeah, I didn't either.
Also, I didn't know that they couldn't review the spike in instant or in slow motion. They had to review it full speed.
All so replays have to be reviewed at full speed. They can't slow it down. So they don't get the super slow-mo scientific thing in 10 minutes. They're supposed to look at it, and if it's clear and convincing evidence that it's wrong, then they overturn it. Otherwise, they don't. That's the rule.
Yeah. So in light of those two things, which come straight from the NCAA, you know, I don't feel as bad, you know, about, you know, quote unquote, stealing this win.
Look, my man from Southern, their kicker had already missed a field goal from 28 and had a kick blocked. This kick was going to be from 47 yards out. So yeah. They ran the quarterback to try to get the first down to stop the clock and get him a little closer, which was a good idea considering that he was already 0-for-2. So that didn't work. And the whole thing blew up, and Southern has to own that. They could have kicked it from 50 or whatever. Do you think he would have made a 50 yard kick? Serious question.
Absolutely. No way.
No, that's why they ran to try to get him closer. Exactly. They didn't think he was going to make it either.
Yeah, and I live in Atlanta now. I ran into a Georgia Southern fan this weekend. I had an Army shirt on. She came over and talked to me. And, you know, her boyfriend's brother is on the team or something anyway. But, you know, she said that they were all frustrated at the coaches because I made a comment about this. Oh, are you guys mad the way it ended? And she's like, I'm mad at our coaches. You know, they really could have done a better job with some clock management. And
yeah, that's fair.
Made some different decisions later in the game. And, you know, ultimately the coaches cost us the game. We don't even care about the, you know, the spike. So granted, that's a sample size of one, but, yeah, you know, made me fair. Feel a little bit better.
Yeah. Anyway, I'll take us through the ugly, as you said here. So as we talked about endlessly, three fumbles in the first half, Tyrell Robinson punching a Georgia Southern player and getting a personal foul. Geez, I didn't see that. I must have gone for another beer. And finally, as we talked about, the core cheering for the other team. Man, what's up with that? So I was going to let this go. We heard reports about this during the game. I kind of figured it was an isolated incident. I wasn't going to bring it up. But then I saw today on Georgia Southern social media that they picked it up and tweeted during the game, which I guess means it was so widespread that even the other team noticed it. And I don't know what to say. We exchanged messages with the guy from Army Barstool today. And I really do get that it's been a hard year, but this was just beyond the pale. It was out of control. I have two teenagers here trapped with me at home. I got locked down for 3 months as a young captain stationed at Camp Gary Owen, South Korea, back in the day. So I get it. I really do. I know that it sucks. I know that people feel like they're not being treated fairly. My own kids tell me how unfair I am every damn day. I really understand. Like, I'm old and I don't understand. Believe me, I got it. I'm old. However, there's only 50,000 West Pointers alive on planet Earth right now. And I don't know if you guys have noticed, but things on this planet are not going very good. We're in the midst of a global pandemic and everything sucks. And that is the truth. There's only 50,000 of us. We have to stick together. If you guys can't figure that out, I don't know what to tell you. You do not want to be the class that's known as being too cool to support your own classmates on the field. Trust me on that. No one will ever forget that. 20 years from now, you'll see your classmates and they'll be like, remember that time you didn't support us on the field? Believe me, I know. I'm old and I have irrelevant opinions. Whatever. That's a little hard to stomach. The end.
Yeah. No, Dan, I completely agree with you. Not at all taking away from how difficult it must be to be a cadet right now. I mean, especially if you're a first.
Yeah, day. Obviously, and it sucks. Yeah.
It's not, I mean, you know, and I know they have all these restrictions on how much you can drink and how much you can't drink and what you can drink. And yeah, it would really suck to have a card that you have to get punched when you go to the first D, like, you know, like you're getting a little gold star in kindergarten. Like, this is not a freaking rewards thing from Subway. Like, you know, you want to go unwind. You can't take pass. You know, the instructors and their families get to take pass. I get it. But at the end of the day, you were not a normal college kid. And you got to be a normal college kid for most of this year when they sent us, you know, the cadets home for the second semester of last year. And if you really want to be a normal college kid that bad, drop out and go to a state school. I used to live in Tallahassee. I can tell you they're not having a whole lot of fun either. There are some people who go out every night and they go out and party. The majority of people are either sitting at their parents' house or they're sitting in their dorm room. Every couple of weeks, there's a spike. They shut everything down and everyone's locked in a little dorm room with some smelly other student who doesn't know how to shower, and life sucks. So I know it looks better on the other side. It doesn't. And at the end of the day, West Point sucks. And that's why people respect West Point grads. That is our value proposition, is that we went to a horrible, miserable place and we survived and we thrived. That's why people hire us. And that's why we know West Pointers tend to do so well after they get out of the Army, is because of the things they experience at the academy that you know, it's all part of that reputation and that brand. And if you don't like it, go to Navy or go to Air Force, because they obviously don't care. They're going to let you do whatever they want.
Well, they just had to lock down the mids because the mids, you know, they let them off the yard there and COVID got out of control. I mean, what do you want to hear? It's bad out there.
Exactly. And the last thing I'll say, cadets are so dramatic. We've all been cadets. I got it. I saw something on Twitter and they're like, oh, well, you know, we all stick our heads out of our windows and scream every night. And that's our new tradition. We were doing that before I got there in 2014.
We were doing that before I got there in 1991. So,
exactly. Yeah. You're not cool. And we started a riot in Central Area. Guess what? They rioted in the 1800s. And I'm not one of those people who's going to sit here and tell you how hard it was when MacArthur was there. But like, they had to send the National Guard in to quell this riot at West Point. So if you think throwing some toilet paper out your window is making a statement, it's not. There was a guy who was a first-team iPlebe year who was a turnback because he got drunk and threw his printer out a window onto the duty van. So unless you're doing that or something better, I don't really care about you, Ryan.
Oh, man.
Shut up. Stop calling the soup racist, too. Like, just because he doesn't want people to go get COVID doesn't make him a racist. Don't understand that. But
I don't understand that either. That's weird. The dude was in charge of the Army's response to Ebola in Africa. Exactly. I'm sorry that it sucks, but he is, in fact, an expert on this.
Yeah, he's like literally one of the best people in the world to be in charge right now. And people are mad that they can't go out and get a booty call in Highland Falls. So
I'd be mad about that, too. That does sink. That does stink. But yeah.
Yeah. Aside from that, I mean, we were all cadets, gray goggles. I got it. Sometimes you can only think about one thing, you know, but right now there are bigger things than your Tinderella. Mount St. Mary.
Oh my God. This is going to go completely off the rails. You know, there was a time before we had the internet, right?
Oh, well, there was? Really?
Oh yeah, there was. All right.
Put out an ad in the paper?
Smoke signals.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Let's get off of this. Obviously, we have thoughts. If you guys have thoughts, join the Firstie Club. Comment your thoughts. We'll have a discussion with you on Facebook. Or comment on this podcast, and we'll read your comments aloud next time. Moving on to Fact or Fiction Revisited.
Fact.
That is correct.
Or fiction.
Incorrect.
So last week, I said that Jeff Monken goes to South Carolina. We all said fiction. He has not gone to South Carolina yet. So right now, we're going to hold it at fiction. Also heard a little rumor that Todd Monken, Jeff's brother, who's currently the offensive coordinator at the University of Georgia, is being considered for that position.
Oh, that's interesting. Good. So hire him. He follows me on Twitter. I'm all for him taking that job.
Really? How did you get? Oh, wow. Okay. So I need to start blogging and tweeting about my kids, and I'll get people.
You got to have some kids, my man.
Well, I need to
get a little perspective.
James, our guest from Brigade Review last week, said that Cade Ballard starts. I said fact. Dan and James said fiction. So they were technically right. But then, Dan, what was your fact or fiction?
I said if Cade Ballard doesn't start, it's definitely going to be Christian Anderson. And yeah, that didn't work out either.
Yeah. So obviously last week was not a good week for us picking fact or fiction. How'd you do in the picks of the week, Dan?
I should have been 4-3. Instead, I was 3-4 when Cincinnati decided not to cover right at the end of the game and kneel down on the 1 yard line. Did you watch the end of the game against UCF?
I watched the end of the game. Yes. It made me a little mad. I was like, go for it. Come on. You're right there.
They're up like 10 points, and UCF scores in garbage time. And I'm like, okay, great. They're not going to cover. That stinks. But then they drive down the field on like some crazy play. And what's his name? Their running back goes down on the 1 yard line. It's like, come on, really? This is how we're going to play it? I understand why they did it, but come on. You know, the bettors everywhere lost money on that. And that stinks.
Well, maybe Luke Fickell bet the other way. Who knows? Yes. I am not accusing anyone of anything.
Oh, man.
Joke, please don't report me.
It's just frustrating because I was clearly right, and I should have gone up, and instead I'm exactly 500 on the season now.
Hey, you were doing better than Bear on College Game Day, though. He went 0-3 the last 2 weeks, so he's at like 40-something percent. So,
well, I went to West Point, so okay.
Well, that's true. I you can go to West Point. So. All right. So obviously, we're recording this the Monday after. It is Thanksgiving week. I'm sure everyone has great plans. Hopefully, you're listening to this podcast in your den or study to get away from your family and annoying in-laws, unless you're in California and you're not allowed to have family anymore. That being said, we do have some interesting games. Dan, do you want to take us through the rundown of some of your picks for games this week?
Yeah, so Thanksgiving Day has become one of my favorite football days of the year. We got three NFL games, which obviously we don't usually talk about on here, but Texans at Lions at noon. 4:30 p.m. we've got Washington at Cowboys, and 8:20 p.m. Ravens at Steelers, which is obviously the best game, so they put it on the latest. We're all going to be in a turkey coma. If you see the end of that game, text me and let me know. And then there's two college games. At 2 p.m., Colorado State is at Air Force. The Rams are 1-2. The Zoomies are 2-2. The winner of this game goes home with the coveted Ram Falcon trophy. And finally, 7 p.m., New Mexico takes on winless Utah State. I don't know what to tell you. Nobody's going to watch that one.
0-4 and 0-4.
Yeah, 0-4 and 0-4. Let me just say how weird it is that Air Force has like a local rivalry with the local college around the corner. Like, isn't that strange to you?
That would be like us having a rivalry with Marist. Like,
yeah, I know.
What? Like, I know we play them in like women's lacrosse and
their lacrosse team is real good. Yeah. No, their men's lacrosse team is good too.
Hey, you know, whatever. I mean, I guess it's the Mountain West. They don't have a whole lot of rivalries to pick from. And I mean, you know, we're not their chief rival. Neither is Navy. So, I mean, who the hell else are you going to pick? You got Colorado State. So,
yeah, I guess. Then on Friday, the 27th, we've got number 15, Iowa State at number 20, Texas, and number 2, Notre Dame at number 25, North Carolina. You know, I don't know what to say about that. Apparently, Iowa State is ranked ahead of Louisiana, who beat them by 17 points, which is pretty bad. On Saturday, November 28th, we've got Tennessee at Vanderbilt, which would matter to me and Rob. Maryland at Indiana, two good perennial underachievers in the Big Ten. Tulsa at Houston. If Tulsa wins, it only strengthens Cincy's argument. All right, you wrote this one. To get into the college football playoff if they beat the Golden Hurricanes. I apologize. I didn't know what you were trying to say there. We'll come back to that one.
Okay.
Kent State at Kent State at Buffalo. Both teams are 3-0. This game is actually for control of the MAC. That's a good game on Saturday. It's going to go under the radar. Kent State at Buffalo. You got Georgia Southern at Georgia State. Southern can get to 7 wins, or State can get above 500 and maybe get a bowl game. North Texas at UTSA. Friends, UTSA can get to 7 wins and beat North Texas for the first time in a long time. That is huge, both for them and for us. North Texas is 3-3, so they actually need the game if they want to keep any bowl hopes alive whatsoever. Number 22, Auburn at number 1, Alabama. Usually a good game, probably not this year. San Jose State at Boise State. San Jose State is 4-0. Boise State is 4-1 with the loss to BYU. This actually for control of the Mountain West. And recall, Mountain West only has 5 bowl tie-ins. So the winner of this game is important. Memphis at Navy. Oh, let's come back to that one. Number 14, Oklahoma at West Virginia, which I'm definitely going to watch if I get a chance. And finally, UCF at USF, so Central Florida at South Florida. A bunch of my friends went to South Florida. Rumor is Mackenzie Milton might play for the first time in 2 years. Pretty excited about that one, I guess.
Yeah. So if you didn't, if you don't follow the American or UCF like I do, or you know, you just don't follow college football, you know that Mackenzie Milton was featured on game day this past week. 2 years ago, he was at USF and QB option, you know, called his own number and dislocated his knee. They had to medevac him to a trauma hospital. No pulse in his leg. They almost had to amputate his leg.
Oof.
Got an infection in it. Almost had to amputate it again. They pretty much told him you're never going to walk again. And he has been practicing most of the season. So
that's amazing.
Rumor in the
sphere
is that he could potentially make a comeback at USF. It would be kind of cool. You know, he gets carted off the field 2 years ago. Now he comes back. So it might happen. I don't know where he's at, but you know, USF's only win is against the Citadel.
They did better against the Citadel than we did.
That's true. I was kind of hoping you wouldn't go there, but you did. It's fine. Anyway, USF is garbage this season. So if you know Mackenzie Milton's going to make a comeback, this would be the game to do it. So we'll see. And then let's circle back to Memphis at Navy. So Memphis can get to 6 wins, be bowl eligible, but we don't know what bowl eligible means this season. You know, I'm already seeing Navy, who has, 2 wins right now.
They have 3. They're 3-4.
Oh, they have 3. Okay, I've seen that they're going to go to the military bowl at Navy against Virginia or Virginia Tech, which happens like every other year. But, you know, Memphis might get to 6 wins. Maybe Navy maybe gets to 500. Dan, do you – this is not a formal fact or fiction, but do you think this game is going to be played?
I think this game is going to be played. Next week's game, I will be surprised if next week's game gets played. Don't ask me how. I realize the logic of that is probably not very sound, but yeah, if both those games get played, I'll be really surprised.
Yeah, because the way it stood was October 31st, Navy lost to, I don't remember who they lost to. Tulsa. They lost to somebody on the 31st. That was the last college football game that they were supposed to play until Army Navy on December 12th.
Right.
So they've now managed to schedule a game next weekend against Memphis and the weekend after at number 24 Tulsa. So, you know, we've talked about this season, how, you know, just playing games is important and how rusty we've looked coming off of, you know, 2 or 3 weeks. And I mean, even this week, how rusty we looked in the first half. Do you think that gives the advantage back to the mids to have to play football the 2 weeks leading up to Army Navy, or playing Memphis, who's a good football team, and Tulsa, who is a ranked very good football team? Do you think that's a disadvantage?
Well, if for Navy's specific case, I think it's a disadvantage because their whole defense revolves around the health of linebacker Diego Fago, who is a very good player, but a little injury prone, especially this season.
Also and if he gets kid, through, but that's
yeah. So if he gets through both of those games healthy, then maybe it's advantage mids, but I don't think I would lay money on that. I wish the guy the best. I really do. But oh my God, he has taken some hits this season and he is not like a big guy. And then the other side of that is that Navy has apparently been holding open quarterback tryouts, which is not a good deal here, you know, 11 weeks into the season, 12 weeks into the season. So maybe it helps them, but it's also possible that, you know, Daylon Morris, that's his name, right? Their quarterback, Daylon Morris.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also possible that, you know, he doesn't make it through the game. And I think he is the only even moderately serviceable quarterback on their roster. But we'll see, you know, maybe they surprise me. I don't think there's any way in the world that they win both those games.
Yeah, I mean, what are the odds? You know, Blaucom Perry goes and tries out, or a Meehan Reynolds, you know, shows up. You know,
I honestly just don't think, like, it's just been a tough year, and I don't know. We'll see. Let's see how they look against Memphis. Let's don't write them off. Maybe they look good, but you know, they've surprised us a couple of times. Every time I'm ready to say, "Oh, Navy's dead," they come out and look way better than I thought they would look. So I'm not going to say that they can't do it, but I don't think it helps them. I think that the risk of injury to one of their few, you know, legitimately talented players is pretty substantial.
Yeah, I agree. And I was trying to make a joke that, you know, Keenan Reynolds or Malcolm Perry would come back, change their name a little bit. And, you know,
yes, where the, I'd like to see Reynolds.
The glasses with the nose and the little mustache come in and, you know, go by a different name. And
30-year-old Keenan Reynolds from the Seattle Dragons. Gonna come out there. Yeah.
Yeah. Meehan Reynolds. He's gonna go ahead and change his name so no one gets suspicious.
Fact.
That is correct.
Or fiction.
Incorrect.
Okay. All right. Anyway, moving on to fact or fiction this year. My fact or fiction is Cincinnati will land in the college football playoff. We're shooting this Monday, Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern. The first rankings come out from ESPN. Dano, what do you think?
No chance. No. They're just not going to give them a chance.
No.
They, although I do think Cincinnati would beat Notre Dame. I've heard that if you say that it, within a Notre Dame fan's hearing, that you'll get death threats. I hope that doesn't happen. But I think Cincinnati is better than Notre Dame. I'd love to see them play.
Yeah. See, this is hard because they're right there. And I think that they are a good enough football team to kind of sneak into that number four spot. And you can make an argument for them over BYU. BYU.
Oh, certainly. Certainly. They're way better than BYU.
Apparently BYU is refusing to schedule a Pac-12 opponent until the rankings come out. Did you see this?
Yeah, this is why I won't take BYU over Cincinnati, is you have to play to win. No time for that. If that's actually true, and I totally believe that it is, then no. The answer is no. That's how you get talked out of contention.
Yeah. And the fact that they admitted it, too, is just, you know, I mean, obviously, it's he said, she said, but it's not a great look.
No.
I'm going to go out on an island. I'm going to say fact that by the end of the season, Cincinnati is going to end up in that number four slot. There's going to be chaos.
Who are they going to knock out? So you've got Clemson, Alabama, and who, and Cincinnati?
Let me pull up the AP poll real quick. All right. Right now we have, hang on, Alabama, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Clemson, and then Florida, Texas A&M, and then Cincinnati. Texas A&M beat Florida, yet Florida is ranked above them.
For this to happen, you can only have one SEC school, I'm on board with. Let's take the SEC champion, and that's all.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Alabama. I think Alabama's going to run the show. Let's drop out Florida and Texas A&M then. Conceivably, Cincinnati is then at the number five spot. You have Notre Dame, Ohio State, and Clemson.
Notre Dame that's tough.
A conference. So Notre Dame might have to play Clemson again in the ACC conference championship.
Okay. Well, then they do have a path forward. I still say fiction, but that's a legitimate path forward.
I don't know. In Ohio State, I mean, who have they played? They haven't played anyone great this season yet. Maybe Northwestern's actually really good. And to be fair, Ohio State had a 35-7 lead on Indiana, and then they only won the game 42-35. So their defense is not all that in a pack of chips. So
yeah, I don't know. I mean, they're playing a conference-only schedule. That's not their fault. They haven't lost a game. You know, even Clemson had a scare this year. I don't think that proves anything. I wouldn't leave Ohio State out.
You sound like everybody on ESPN. Like,
well, you know, yeah, I'm auditioning for the job.
In March, they're like, oh, yeah, Ohio State's going to win the national championship, and Justin Fields is going to get the Heisman. And
well, no, I mean, if they'd lost a couple of games, I wouldn't feel that way, obviously. But they, you know, they what have they done to put themselves out of contention? It's not like Oklahoma, who legitimately put themselves out of contention.
Correct. You know, Oklahoma's kind of self-destructed.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. I'm going to stick with fact, and, you know, I probably will be wrong because, you know, they hate non-Power 5 teams, but you never know.
It's just the money, man. That's all. I mean, if you're talking about who's going to draw more fans to the bowl game, that's all these guys care about, unfortunately.
Yeah, I agree. Unfortunately.
So right. My fact or fiction is Colorado State beats Air Force to win the Ram Falcon Trophy. And I am going to say fact, even though I think the line is probably about Air Force by a touchdown.
Yeah. I think it's 5.5 points, 6 points. I'm going to go fiction just because I think football team, it really pains me to say that. I know you're also a lot more bitter than I am that, you know, the game got canceled and you got.
I am really upset about the game getting canceled. Yeah. I have them sitting here holding a ticket to that game.
Yeah. So I'm going to go fiction. You'll go fact. We flip-flopped. I guess we'll see who's right next week. So, and then finally, Matt Scrivener in the Firsty Club gave us a fact or fiction. If you want to give us a fact or fiction on the show, become a Patreon, join the Firsty Club. I've already plugged it earlier in the show. I'm going to do it again. Shameless. I know bowl season is going to be nuts this year with a pool of teams instead of the usual 6-win minimum and strict conference tie-ins, and that the American Conference has 7 tie-in bowls. Navy is currently 3-4, 7th in the conference, with a 3-2 conference record. Do you think that a bowl would take a Tulane team at 6-5, provided they can pull off the upset of Memphis this week, or even a 5-6 Tulane team that has shown up and played?
I'm going to go off the board and say that if Tulane doesn't finish with an outright winning record, they're not going to go to a bowl game. But I don't think Navy's going to – I just don't see their path forward. I don't think Navy's going to win another game, if you want to know the honest-to-God truth. If they come in with 2 losses in a row, having come off of a month of not playing because of COVID, that's a tough way to head into the Army-Navy game. And so I'm not sure what's going to happen in terms of American Conference tie-ins, but – I don't know why anybody would pick Navy over, you know, Tulane or some of the other teams there, or just, you know, I don't know. I guess we'll see. I don't know off the top of my head what the top 7 teams are in the American Conference, but it could be crazy. They could easily just say, hey, these teams aren't bowl eligible. Let's go off the board. I think it's a little bit more likely that they take somebody like USA, 7-win team out of Conference USA, something like that, and say, you know, these teams aren't necessarily bowl eligible. That's what I think.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. You know, Tulane only has, 10,000, 18,000 undergrad? I mean, they're a small school, and like you've already pointed out, at the end of the day, it's about the money. So I don't think Tulane is going to bring the audience that even a smaller or even a larger Conference USA school would, just because of the viewership. So I'm going to agree with you that Tulane needs to have a winning record. And then in terms of Navy, 3-4, 7th in the conference, and they play Memphis and Tulane, or Memphis and Tulsa. You know, Tulsa's ranked. Memphis is a good football team, like we've already talked about. I mean, if Navy's 3-6 headed into the Army-Navy game, I don't think they're going to go to a bowl game.
Yeah, how do you take a 3-6 team to a bowl game? You can't do it. That's insane. Nobody's doing that. They'll take somebody with a winning record from one of the other conferences, you know, Conference USA has got a decent number of teams that have winning records. The MAC has some teams that haven't been good in a while that could get a shot. Kent State, we already talked about. San Jose State is better this year than they have been in a long time. Buffalo, there's teams out there that would like to get a shot at the postseason that they would take over a team that's 3-6.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, it is a service academy. So don't know how much that weighs, but we'll see. I mean, obviously, I would love if only Army got to go to a bowl game this year. That would be great, especially listening to Ken complain about how hard their schedule was all year. For them not to go to a bowl would be pretty cool. But I guess we'll see what happens. So we're going to go ahead and close out the show with our favorite thing. So my favorite thing this week is I went to the College Football Hall of Fame in Atlanta yesterday. Definitely worthwhile, especially if you're going with, you know, a girl who likes football, or, you know, your family and your kids. Like there's a lot of group activity kind of things. You know, I went by myself. You can absolutely go by yourself. It would definitely be a lot more fun if you had other people with you to kind of compete against. And, you know, it was like that you could go run the 40-yard dash for time and then, you know, compete against your friends. Really cool. A lot of Army stuff. They give you this little pass that you scan in at the beginning, and then you pick your team. So then all the exhibits you go to are personalized to your team. So when you go to the actual Hall of Fame, you scan your pass. It only shows you Army players. So you didn't have to sort through all the Michigan and USC and Florida State people. You just saw all the Army people. And then, you know, for different things about stadiums or coaches or stuff like that. So definitely worthwhile. And then, you know, apart from that, there was just a ton of, you know, Army stuff, whether it's talking about the service academies in general, or they had a whole big exhibit to Earl Blake and his coaching tree. So nice. Learned a lot about that I didn't know. And then right when you walk in, they have a big mural of MacArthur. And I guess he founded some organizations in the 50s for football and designed some trophies and stuff like that. So, which I did not realize, but yeah, definitely worthwhile if you're in Atlanta. And then finally, Ben Holden and Ross Tucker, our great play-by-play announcers, will actually be calling the Army-Navy game on the radio. So they did not get the call for CBS, but they will be able to call the game. So depending on who calls it, if they're absolutely horrible, you can always mute the game and listen to Ross and Ben on the radio. So, I mean, good for them. We've talked about it on this show, but just, you know, Ben Holden loves Army so much, and it's good that he gets to call a game. So,
yeah. You know, you were talking about MacArthur a minute ago. That is awesome, by the way, about Ben and Ross calling the radio game. I don't know if how many of our listeners know how much MacArthur did for American sports in general, but he's also pretty much the father of the American Olympic movement. So, yeah, if you have a chance, that's worth reading up on. Not only did he, you know, do a few things in wartime, he's also largely responsible for quite a bit of America's sporting infrastructure.
Yeah, they have a picture of him, and then it's, you know, the upon the fields of friendly strife or sown the seeds, that quote. So definitely really cool. So
I think he played left field at West Point. Somebody can correct me on that. Pretty sure he was in the outfield.
Yeah, I have no idea. But yeah, he got a shout out at the Hall of Fame. So
yeah, my favorite thing this week, and then we'll close it up. Calvin Hopkins Jr. tweeted out that he passed survival swimming after 4 attempts, so he will therefore graduate in 17 days. I find it a little frustrating, having taught about 100 people to swim, that he's struggling that much, that it took him 4 times, but what can you do? And congratulations.
Yeah, fantastic. I know a lot of people struggle with that class, so, I mean, it's good to see that persistence, and you know, he was able to get through it, so... That's awesome. Good for him. Anything else, Dan?
Emblem Athletic. Some of you lieutenants out there need to help out your units with custom gear. Emblem Athletic can help you do that. It doesn't have to be hard. It can be easy.
Yeah. Emblem Athletic's great. We've worked with them for quite some time and have only heard positive things from their customers. So support them, support the show, become a Patreon, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and go Army, beat the bye week, and beat Navy.
Beat Navy.